Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, it was an anticlimactic end to February that started with a lot of hope for the Straits Times Index that saw it eventually wipe out all of those impressive gains and actually close with a monthly loss. And of course, markets continue to be roiled by the uncertainty brought about by Russia's recent attack on Ukraine that has sent investors fleeing to safe havens and also bracing for the potential worst. However, will the sell-off actually be short-lived? And is there actually hope for markets down the road? Well, we'd like to get the view of some notable investors as to whether or not there is still hope. And today we are joined on the line by Sean Taylor, the CIO for the Asia-Pacific region, head of emerging markets at DWS. He's here to share with us their outlook on the recent events and how the recent events in Russia between Russia and Ukraine have impacted markets, and whether this will stick around for longer periods, or whether or not markets can actually come up for air sooner rather than later. Mr. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. Welcome to the show, sir. I hope you're having a good Monday out there, sir.
Good afternoon. Yes, thank you. And you too.
All right. So again, just to recap, it was a pretty wild end to February for markets, at least here in Singapore, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine really hitting markets hard. We're dealing with a number of sanctions. Russian President Vladimir Putin now putting his deterrence forces on high alert, and the specter of a potential of potential nuclear action also now weighing on market sentiments. However, DWS in their recent report said that they are maintaining their base case scenarios for markets in 2022. Can you help remind our listeners what those base case scenarios are and why it has not changed despite all of these new developments?
Well, look, our recommendations were based on the situation in Ukraine become not widening out outside of Ukraine. At the moment, obviously, over the weekend, there's been a further escalation of what Russia's been doing by sort of getting its nuclear capability ready. But on the other hand, we have potential talks in Belarus between Russia and Ukraine. And we've got more sanctions coming on now from Europe. So I think it's a bit too early to really jump to long-term conclusions until we're really clear what's going to be happening. Clearly, from an asset allocation basis, in the short term, anything that has risk off qualities, whether it's gold, whether it's the dollar, and markets that have underperformed like APAC, have held up a lot better. In the medium term, we do envisage there being more tension in Europe, but we would have thought the US and also Asia wouldn't be as hurt by it. So, we've had a huge sell-off in US equities, not really driven by the Ukraine situation initially, but driven by the fact that the US is changing its monetary policy. But as long as the earnings continue, we think it will be a buying opportunity. And we do think that there is still a very positive case for equities, if not such a great return profile relative to the last few years.
So the base case may be somewhat intact for the most part, but I believe DWS has also recognized that some tail risks have now risen because of the events of the last few weeks. Which ones are these tail risks, Mr. Taylor? And of these tail risks you guys have identified, which one might be the biggest source of uncertainty based on what DWS is tracking?
Well, look, the biggest source of uncertainty is where commodity and oil prices go. And actually, it's been interesting that at the moment, the sort of geopolitical landscape, both on the Russian side and the European and the US side, has left energy alone. So at the moment, gas is still pumping. They're still getting dollars for it. And that's interesting because I think that has, both sides are really, massive financial impact if that stops. So I think that's the base case, because particularly from a European perspective, Europe gets so much gas, oil, and coal from Russia that it could really hurt inflation. And so the biggest risk there is where we've got, most people in the market had a reasonably positive recovery story in Europe. This huge headwind could dampen that recovery. But it shouldn't stop the recovery or the normal growth prospects in the U.S., nor in Asia. Asia is much more going to be driven by China. We also don't think that it's going to stop the Fed hiking rates next month.
Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about how this might actually impact the Fed's policy decision in as we head into March. But again, I just want to stay with the outlook on Russia, given the fact that they're one of the largest producers of oil and natural gas in the world. And there have been talks actually of sanctioning or cutting off their cutting off their oil and gas sectors from the broader markets. But given how the possible knock-on effects on already high inflation, can the world really afford to sanction Russia on this? And how does this overall complicate the global inflationary outlook? Or is it perhaps just a little bit too blown out of proportion at this point?
Well, look, there's probably a $15, maybe even $20 premium in the oil price at the moment. And the difficulty is it depends on how long this goes on for. And, you know, even, you know, if the situation calms down, given that we've already had financial sanctions or they're just going on some of the Russian financial institutions, will Russia be able to produce as much oil as it normally does because of the lack of, because of the cash flow won't be there to invest in it? That's got to be a key question. So I think oil is going to be under pressure upwards and gas for the foreseeable future, whatever happens in the shorter term with Ukraine. And that's going to put some pressure on the US and it's going to put some pressure on inflation, but more on Europe, as I said. And also on some parts of Asia. But I think Asian governments have enough fiscal flexibility that they can probably subsidize the consumer from that.
Mm-hmm.
The US inflation outlook is mainly driven by what's happening in the labor market. And we do think that, you know, at some stage inflation will dampen in the US as more opening up happens, as the supply chain you know, basically gets better. But it still will remain elevated. So we still think the Fed will start their interest rate hikes now.
All right. We're speaking to Mr. Sean Taylor, the CIO for the Asia-Pacific region at DWS here on Money FM 89.3. We're talking about the possible knock-on effects of Russia's recent invasion in Ukraine on global market sentiment. You did talk about how the Fed might still be on course for that hawkish path down to tightening rates for the most part. But given what's happened with Russia and Ukraine and the possible knock-on effects to inflation, does this make their policy decision even more complicated? Because on one hand, if inflation does perk up, the Fed might be placed under more pressure to be more hawkish. But on the other hand, could surging energy prices get to a point where there are stagflation risks and thus cause them to think twice about taming their tightening path? I mean, it seems like a juggling act that I know I can't handle, Mr. Taylor, but do you think that this is going to be something that will really trouble Jerome Powell and friends when they meet sometime in mid-March?
I think it's probably troubling every moment at the moment because they've said, okay, we've got to, you know, we've set some pretty, core sort of headlines mm-hmm. that they've got to look at wage inflation, you know. And there is definitely a risk that if they overhike, if they over-tighten, then, you know, they need to, that the economy does start to fall. Because most people have a lower economic forecast. We got 2.8% this year in the US. And partly that's because of, the fiscal spend isn't there, you know, that has been driven for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, that is a concern. But I think, again, back to what I said, I think the US are going to be concerned about the labor market because that's where mm-hmm. the real inflation is that's been a problem in the US at the moment. And I suppose at some stage the Fed will have to look and say, which one will they hike? But if they don't hike, wage inflation is not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. You know, hiking will not affect the commodity markets. So they got to deal with a bit they have sort of control of.
Mm-hmm. Finally, one other thing that's probably here to stay, apart from these inflationary risks, Mr. Taylor, is volatility. We've seen it really rise in the last couple of weeks, and some think that it might, forget calling it a volatile first quarter, this could be a volatile year for markets. Given this context, how is DWS advising clients to buffer themselves against some of these potential volatility shocks of the likes we saw last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think, sorry, I do apologize. Our forecast for the US is 3.8 for next year and then 2.5 mm-hmm. for the year after. Diversified portfolio. Mm-hmm. We're also recommending being diversified across the fixed income in different countries. So, you know, we prefer investment grade and high yield, but we prefer to have a diversified spread. And within equities, we've taken our overweight down in the US, and we're more diversified across Asia, Japan, and Europe. And we're recommending real assets. They're very good inflationary hedge, and also commodities. And that's very important. I mean, diversified portfolio, really important, because even if the, you know, before the Ukraine situation started to cause more volatility in the market, we've also got volatility coming in from the path of where rates are going. And that's very, very important. And as liquidity starts to dry up, as the Fed starts to take the balance sheet down, that will cause more volatility. And so there's been a really selective, you know, behavior in markets. You know, as rates start to go up or expectations go up, those stocks that are long, what they call longer duration stocks, so their earnings, the very good companies which are growing very quickly, but their earnings are sometime in the future, they then get discounted by a higher discount rate, and that causes them to fall. And, you know, that has been part of the problem. And then we've got, you know, in the last 3 years, particularly in the last two with COVID, we've had a lot more retail participation, particularly in the US market, and that's causing more volatility as well.
A lot of
diversification and have a hedge on inflation.
A lot of interesting insights there. I have to keep it at that. I'd like to thank Sean Taylor, CIO for the Asia Pacific region at DWS, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Mr. Taylor, always a pleasure. I hope you stay safe out there in Hong Kong, sir.
And you. Thank you very much, sir.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.